So, Matthew 19, verse 26, or verse 25, the disciples heard this and they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And this morning, we're going to be starting our series about the character or the attributes of God. And I'm going to be speaking this morning about God's character and God's nature as all-powerful and all-knowing. And the purpose behind this is so that we can in some way grasp better and a deeper understanding of the character of God, to understand that he's faithful, to understand that he is all truth, to understand that he's love, to understand that he's mercy, to understand that he's powerful, to understand that he's everywhere, to understand that there's no greater authority, to understand that he's love, to understand that he knows all things, to understand that nothing can remove him from the place of power and majesty that God has. That is who he is, that is where he is, and that is where he's going to stay, whether you like it or not. That's the truth. You can say whatever you like about God, but the truth is that God is the Almighty God and that he's on his throne. And we want to take some time to marvel, to appreciate, to reflect on his character, to know who he is, because the better we know him, the better we're going to be, the better that we can reflect who he is by understanding him better. You don't serve a weak God. You serve a God who is victorious. And in some way, you are also destined to reflect who he is and reflect his glory in the world, to be an ambassador for Christ. It is a high calling that God has called you to. I'm so excited. It is a high calling that God has. You haven't been called to a mundane existence and just to exist. You have been called to a high calling in God. And there's so much potential that God is doing and wants to do and is going to do in the future. And it's a glorious thing for us as Christians to be called of God. And I hope that we can grasp and I can do some justice in some way to this. This is a huge subject. And so I'm just going to touch on a few things today. So we're going to look at the nature of God as being all-powerful and all-knowing. So God's omnipotence and God's omniscience. There you go. That's some nice long words for you. Omnipotence referring to God being all-powerful and omniscience referring to God being all-knowing. So omnipotence means almighty power. This is who God is. He has almighty power. His power is unlimited. Just drink it in. His power is infinite. And that word is a word that is only applicable to God. He is so powerful that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created." How did God is so powerful that he created with a word, with a command. Wow. I mean, you know, you guys here are, you know, you have a measure of a power, but I don't know anybody who can create. You know, he created things out of his will. He had a will, he had a vision, he had an idea, and he spoke that into being, and things were formed and created. He said, "I want an Ian Rook," and he created an Ian. Wow. You know, it's amazing when you think of it that, you know, it's, well, let me not run ahead, because all things are held together and sustained through the word. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the sun of the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. All that we see around us, all that we see in creation, all that we see in one another, everything that we see is a result of the power and the creativity of God. There's no greater power and nothing can stand in his way. The Bible is all about demonstrating and revealing the power of God, and that he is able to bring to pass anything and everything that he chooses. You know, if God sets his mind to do something, you're not going to stop it. Superpower. That's it. There are no limitations to God other than the limitations that he puts on himself. When you think about how awesome and powerful God is and what that power can do, in a moment he could take life, he could destroy this world, he could bring calamity, he could, in a moment he could do that. But God doesn't choose to do that. Sometimes in the Bible we see that there were times where God brought judgment, and God is the judge. But actually, if God fully released his judgment power, all of us would be finished in a moment. Everything that God does is intentional and has a purpose. Do you know that? He's working towards a goal. He's not winging it. He's everything that God does is working to fulfill the culmination of his kingdom, the return of Jesus. He's working towards a goal. It's important to know that. Nothing is going to take God away from completing his goal and fulfilling his word. It's amazing that we as Christians have been given an opportunity to pray and to petition God. Does God change his mind? Wow. I bet that's probably something that we could debate, maybe. Does he, doesn't it? But let's not get there. Does God change? But, you know, when we pray in line with his will, because God is working to a goal, God is working to an aim, God is working all things out. And actually, it's better that we get with the program and that we know his heart and that we know his intentions and that we pray in accordance with his will so that our prayers can be answered. That's a great way to have your prayers answered. Read the word, spend time in his presence, know his will, and pray in line with that his kingdom may come. I want to show a quick clip, if that's okay. Has anybody seen Bruce Almighty? So hopefully, if someone can switch off the lights, and if we can get the video to work. This, for those of you that don't know, Bruce Almighty is a film that where a guy challenges God. And he says, God, my life seems a mess. If I was God, I would do better. And God says, okay, let's see what you can do. And so the story plays out and God takes him at his word and he gives him his powers for a period of time. And there's just a funny clip that I wanted to play if we can
this creepy whisper thing has to
get it up there, if not.
Management, that's what I need. I need a system, something concrete.
Talk amongst yourselves for a moment.
Concentrate. Files. Let all prayers...
Slick.
Be organized into files.
Okay, well done.
Well, that takes care of the voices. Not exactly a space saver, though.
Can you pause it and start again?
You might notice...
Prayer post-it.
Okay. Or you can just watch it in. Okay, right. I tried. You can't get rid of that ad.
You've got prayers.
Okay, just forget it then.
Welcome to the Revelation Superhighway. We bless, no mess. Downloading now.
Basically, in that clip, it doesn't take long for Bruce to understand that actually to have the power, but then to be able to use it effectively is a problem. And for those of you that know that clip, he gets millions and millions of prayers. And how would it be for us? You know, when we think about God being all powerful, that he knows everything instantly, all the time, and he knows everybody's prayers, everybody's praying. And Bruce Almighty, basically, all the prayers come up, and he just says he can't answer them all, so he just presses yes. And then in the film, you just see all of the disaster and the chaos and all the stuff that happens because God answered yes to everybody's prayer. What would it be like for us, for you, to have unlimited power, to be able to hear the prayers of every person? What is amazing is that God is all powerful and he has the power to answer every prayer righteously, in a righteous way. What would your world look like if you were God? And you had all power to do what you wanted. What world would you create? See, God is all powerful, yet he chose to create a world that was going to accommodate you. How amazing is that? And not only did he choose to create a world that would accommodate you, but he chose to deal with the issue of sin and come into a world that he created, that he has all power and sovereignty over. And he came into that world and he died a cruel, horrific death for you so that you could be made in right relationship with God. It's his world. He created it. Maybe your world will be full of speedboats. My world may be airplanes. I don't know. But God, think about it. In his infinite power, God created a world not for himself, but for us. We see him, don't we, in creation. We see his handiwork displayed in the stars, and we see him in creation. But actually, he chose to create a world and come into that world and give of himself. This God that had all power, yet he chose to humble himself. Isn't that awesome? Maybe I'm not explaining this very well. In the magnitude and the glory and the power of all that he is, he chose to become broken. He chose to give his life for us. He chose to be humiliated, rejected, and despised for us, when he could have created a world where he could have just set himself up to enjoy himself. Wow. God is so powerful that he was able to create all things, yet he included us in his plan. Isaiah 40, verse 26 says, "Lift up your eyes, look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Billions of stars. Many, many, many billions of universes. even stars and galaxies and things that we can't see, yet the Bible says that God knows each by name. What does that tell you about God's power? And this isn't a God that's just out there. This is a God that you have a relationship with. This is the God that says that he's your father. God's power is demonstrated because he holds everything together. So without him, nothing would exist. In other words, the power that sets the sun in the sky or gives the ant or an insect the power to crawl across the floor, the fact that you and I have breath in our bodies is evidence of God's power and of his creation. Everything, the Bible says, is created by him and is sustained by him. So you're sustained by the powerful nature of God. It's amazing when you think about that and just how incredible it is and how it affects us. We simply need to realize that God is awesome. And that's no offense to the American people in the room, but that's the true awesome, not an arsome. Yeah. God is truly awesome, isn't he? And when you think about it, Ephesians 3 verse 20 says that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. And not only does God have power, but the very definition of who he is power. He is inherently powerful. He is power. That's our God. Radiant, dynamic, powerful. Nobody can usurp his authority. You know, one of the greatest displays of God's power is that God could choose when to come in time, where to come, and that actually he would choose to come as a baby and grow up and become a man. Philosophers wrestle with this and religions think about it, and you know, people don't understand how that could possibly happen. But it happened. That is the powerful nature of God. There is nothing impossible for him, nothing out of his reach. And your life, your little tiny life with your issues and challenges and difficulties, is there anything too hard for God? Is your life too difficult for him to manage? Is it too difficult for Angela's sons to get saved? Nothing is impossible for God. Your situation, your lack, your need, your issues, what you're dealing with, nothing is too difficult for him in the light of who he is, not in the light of our weaknesses, but in the light of who he is, nothing is impossible. It's good to get things into perspective, isn't it? Our God is unlimited. He's infinite. And we are finite. By the very definition, there are going to be some things that we don't understand about God. God is eternal. We are not. But just because we may not understand, how could God come as a baby? Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that it didn't happen or it's not true. Exodus 6, verse 2 and 3, God told Abraham that he is the Almighty God, or El Shaddai. And El Shaddai is the Hebrew word for Almighty God. And it talks about a quality that only God can possess. This is who God is. It means having absolute power, that he overflows with power, that he is all-powerful. And because he is all-powerful, it means that he has no equal. And he is above every single power that there is in the universe. That's the God that we worship. That's your father. It's my father. I don't know about you, but I'm going to boast in him. Like a child in school, my dad's better than your dad. Yes! It's natural, you know, to boast about your father. Boast about him. The devil isn't as strong as God. God has no equal. No one comes close to him. In God's throne room, there isn't a three-piece suite. There is a throne. And God sits on the throne, ruling in power and in majesty. You are not on the throne with God. You know that. God is in control. He is ruling our life. He rules our destiny. It's not us anymore. It's not the enemy anymore. It's not God and then the enemy just sort of sitting beside as his assistant, sort of saying, well, you know, just I'm going to have an influence as well. The devil has been completely cast down. The devil has been defeated and disarmed. And God now sits on the throne in his throne room, governing, ruling in power and authority and majesty. There is no one, the enemy, nothing, nobody, nothing comes in anywhere near the place, the magnificence, the place of authority that God has. There is only one throne. Are you still with me? Matthew 28, verse 18. That's why Jesus said, all authority, listen, all authority has been given to me. That word authority, that means that God has the authority and the power to act. Not only does he have the authority to act, but he has the power to carry out that authority. The truth is that there is no situation, no problem, no prayer too hard for him. Now, I know there are people in the room that are going through difficulties and struggles, and I'm not making light of those things. Ultimately, God has the victory. Ultimately, God has the final say. Nothing is too hard for him. Sarah and Abraham, they had to admit it. You know that story when they're so old and God comes to them and says, you're going to have a baby, and they laugh. And they said, have you seen? I mean, Abraham says, have you seen my body, but have you seen hers? I mean, how's that going to happen? And he waits till they get to that point where it's actually biologically impossible. And then the word comes again. Is there anything too hard? Anything too impossible for me? And I was reading turn to Luke chapter 1, because that's a reoccurring theme. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything impossible for me? It's a reoccurring theme through the Old Testament and through the New Testament. You see that in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Just quickly, in the month, well, let me just go down because of time. Let's begin at Luke 1:35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said is to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. You know, that is a good thing to prophesy and to speak over your life. You're not speaking limitation, you're speaking the freedom and blessing. Nothing is impossible. You know, I'm facing personal issues and challenges in my life. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean that my life, I just skip through life with no problems at all. I mean, you got problems, but me, just, woo, it's a breeze, you know. You know, all of us, every single one of us have issues and challenges and problems. And problems can either drive you away from God, or you can press in and you can say, God, I'm going to seek you. And I'm going to know you better through the challenges and issues that I'm going through. And you have to do it, and I have to do it. And it's a good thing to do, to speak out. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. My God has all the power and all the authority to do whatever he desires to do. Sometimes it doesn't always happen in the time frame that we want it to happen, does it? If we're honest. So that was power. I could talk. We could talk for a month, couldn't we, about the power of God? But let me just spend just a few minutes just talking about the all-knowing aspect of God. How do you feel that God is all-knowing? Some of you are like, you're good. Some of you, I know you are saying, that is sounds scary. That God knows everything. But you know, it doesn't just mean that God knows all of the nasty bits about our lives. Because actually, God does know everything about us. But it also means that his knowledge and his understanding is complete. That you can add nothing to his understanding. He is complete in his knowledge and his understanding of us and of the world. The great thing about that is that God is never fazed and never shocked by the things that happen to us or the things that happen in the world. Why? Because he knows all things. He knows it all. He knows everything about everything. Not even about our actions, but he knows what you're going to say and he knows your thoughts before you even say it. What does it say in Isaiah 65? I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 147, great is the Lord and of great power. Are you weak today? Prophesy over yourself. Speak this over yourself. Get it into your heart and into your spirit. I serve a great God. God's power is infinite. Get an understanding of who he is and who you are. Get an understanding of that. 1 John 3 verse 20 says, by this shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. He knows everything. The dictionary definition of omniscience, is the quality of God of knowing all things at once, having universal knowledge, knowledge unbounded or infinite. He knows our very thoughts, our feelings, our desires, and our needs, and he knows all of our ways. Does God know what's going on in your life at the moment? Are you sure? How does he know? That's not a trick question. Speak to me. Because he's all-knowing. He knows what sometimes we go through life struggling, thinking, why isn't God answering my prayer? Doesn't he know what I'm going through? Yes, he does know what you are going through. Press into God. Seek him. Instead of asking, why are you not answering my prayer? Get to know him better. Seek him. Press into him. One amazing quality about God is that he's all-knowing, that he knows everything that's happened in history. He knows everything that's happened in the past. He knows everything that's going on in the future. And he knows everything that is going to happen, that is to come. He even anticipated you when you were born. What does Ephesians 1 say? Blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as his sons, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He chose you. He knew you. He was waiting for you. He was anticipating you. Wow. In a particular year, Trisha is going to be born. I wouldn't even go there with trying to guess how old you are. So that's not a good thing to do to a lady. Anticipating. Anticipating. He knew you. He's waiting for you. Longing for you. Wow. How special are you? Just turn to the person beside you and say, wow, I am very, very special to God. Go on. There are no secrets before Almighty God. God is so incredible and possesses such knowledge that he knows our thoughts. That might not sound incredible to you, but can you imagine that God knows the thoughts of every single person? Imagine, you know, who's married here? Now, I love my wife, and hopefully she loves me. But just for me, just for me to understand my wife's thoughts, and for her to understand mine, is challenge enough. Imagine God knows the thoughts of the 6 billion or so people that live on this earth. How awesome is that? He knows instantly, in a moment. Is he able to govern your life? Is he able to take control of the situation that you're going through? What is man that you're mindful of him? Yet, God knows us by name, doesn't he? Psalm 139. You know, the good thing is that God actually doesn't, he doesn't need to investigate or ask other people's opinions or to get a reference about George. He doesn't need to ask anybody. He knows. Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts are far off. You comprehend my paths and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. It's okay if I'm just talking about one person, but this is the nature of God, understanding each and every one of us in this room, in Horsham, in West Sussex, in England, in Europe, the world. You've hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high I cannot attain it. You formed my inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed. In your book they were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Can you imagine being in a quiz with God? Can you imagine doing an exam? You know, God, every single question would be answered correctly and perfectly and to the, what's the word I'm looking for? Perfectly. You know, we get the highest score, wouldn't it? You know, the amazing thing is that God, because of who God is, God didn't need to go to university to do a diploma on how to run the universe. That is who he is. The simple truth is that God knows everything. He knows it all. Isaiah 40, and I am drawing to a close now. Isaiah 40, verse 13, who can understand the mind of the Lord or instructed him as a counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? I was reading the Message version, and this will be the last scripture I'm going to read. But God, in his knowledge, has told us about the future to come as well. You know, he knows of the past. We know he's with us in the present. But actually, in his word, he tells us about the future. Kind of makes you think, my goodness, actually, I better take more kind of stock of what he says, because if he is truth, his word tells us the truth of what is to come in the future. Talks in 1 Corinthians 15 of the return of Jesus, and this is from the Message Bible, so let me just read this to you. But let me tell you something wonderful, a mystery you'll probably never understand. We're not all going to die. Someone smile. Yes. But we're all going to be changed. You hear a blast to end all blasts from a trumpet. And in the time you look up in and blink your eyes, it's over. On signal from that trumpet of heaven, the dead will be up and out of their graves. Yeah. I love that. We'll be up and out. Yeah. Beyond the reach of death, never to die again. At the same moment, in the same way, we'll all be changed. In the resurrection scheme of things, this has to happen. Everything perishable, taken off the shelves and replaced by the imperishable. This mortal replaced by immortal. Then the saying will come true. Death swallowed up by triumphant life. This is truth. This is knowledge. This is what's going to happen. Death swallowed up by triumphant life. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening. The law code guilty, that sin that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus. Thanks be to God. Your knowledge, my knowledge, the whole of mankind's knowledge, all wrapped into one, is microscopic compared to God. Even the advancements in technology, it's just like scraping the surface. And, you know, it's like, you know, God in all his wisdom and knowledge is saying, is that all you know yet? You know, we marvel at technology. And all, I mean, in our generation, we've seen a huge change in technology, and God is, and sometimes people say that technology and science is going to disprove God, and God's just sitting there saying, yeah, are you going to disprove me? No way is science and and technology going to disprove God. It just makes us marvel even more at his magnificence. So, I'm going to finish. Is there anything too hard for God? Oh, very, very good. Give all yourselves a gold star. Nothing is impossible for him. Is God in control? Are you sure? Because it's all very well me rabbiting on here for half an hour if we go home and just don't apply what we've learnt. We have to apply it. And sometimes we have to, the most difficult times is to apply it when it hurts, when it's hard, and when it's difficult, and when the situation tells us the opposite. But the truth is, this is truth. And this is what we base our lives upon. What difference is it going to make to me? You're a child of God. Not just a child of God, but a child of Almighty God. When you worship a God who is a creator. You worship a God who's not selfish. God didn't create a selfish environment so that he could be just have fun. And he created an environment for us to flourish, to have a relationship with. I'm convinced that God loves skiing. That's why he created mountains and snow for us to enjoy ourselves. He doesn't enjoy it. Well, you know, who knows, I guess. But you know, when we worship, think about it. When we worship an unselfish God. We worship a creator God. We worship a God that has the best for us, has the best intentions for us. Getting to know him and his character can transform us in our worship, in our prayer life, in our thinking, in our devotions, in every area. When we worship a God who is a creator, who is unselfish in his nature, that chose me and placed me in a world of beauty so that I can have relationship. He is able to answer your prayers, able to lead you in truth, able to use his power without abuse. Did you hear what I said? How would it be if I was sitting on the throne and I was God? Seriously, you would not want to be here. A disaster. Thank you, Roger. I love you too as well. It would be. Man is always drawn to himself and his own selfish needs and desires. But God wields all authority and power without abuse. When we come to worship our God, that's the God that we serve. He is able to create beauty as well as purpose out of nothing. Wow. You have a purpose to live for. You've got a hope because God created it. He knows all things, and therefore you can trust him and you can rest your life upon him. He knows your trials. He knows your difficulties. He knows your pain. He knows your challenges. God really knows. I was talking to somebody with this week and they said to me, you know, when I speak to somebody who's been through what I know, it means a lot more because they can identify with me. You know, when someone sits down and says, and you say, well, actually, you don't know. You've not been there. You've not been through what I've been. God knows. God's not speaking into your life and about your situation out of a hypothetical understanding or a nice will to kind of just help you. God knows. He knows what you're suffering. He knows what you're going through. He knows. Therefore, when you come to him, it's not just a pat on the back or a brush-off remark. God knows. Press into him. Our God is a God of unimaginable grace, unimaginable beauty, unimaginable holiness, unimaginable mercy. We go on and on and on and on, talking about how amazing he is. So let's revel in God. Let's love him all the more. Let's worship him more passionately. Let's be obedient to his voice. And let's be set free and transformed by his intentions for each and every one of us. Let's pray together.